associate pastor here and youth pastor. Pastor Joe's on vacation. I think he's wrapping it up this week. Hopefully he'll come back. No, he will. And, we want to dismiss the kids. There it is again. All right, so kids, go ahead and back to Children's Church, Kids Church, and grades 5th and under. A great time back there. Hey, adults, get back in here. No. That'll be good. I have the opportunity to share with you this morning, and I have a message that the Lord has laid on my heart and is deeply part of this message. Is kind of really strikes a chord with who I am, and I'm really passionate about it. And so I wanted to talk to us today a little bit about the church. Now I know that, like, oh, well, we're in the church, right? I mean, we just got new carpet and the walls and everything's painted and it looks nice. Well, but that's really not the church I want to talk about today. So I have a couple of things that are going to help us to look at that. First of all, we here at North Point, we have a mission and a vision that God has given us for the church. And so I want to put those up there real quickly. Our mission is we believe that North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's word by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. And that's our mission. That's what we believe God's called us to do, is to grow spiritually strong people. And as who share God's word, they build relationships and they live lives that please God. And then when that happens and when it takes place in our midst, we believe the vision, what's going to happen from that, the outflow, the end result of that is the vision, is that we're going to become a group of spiritually strong believers, learning God's word, meeting the needs in our community, and loving unconditionally. Now, you may have heard those, and they should be filtering through the teachings and the preaching that happens in our church and the classes and the programs. All this should reflect if that's really our mission as the church. And it's not about the building, although that's something we want to take care of. I mean, we want this place to be welcoming. We want it to look like we care, like we were expecting guests to come in. In fact, that's one of the things that, as I oversee the hospitality ministry, we have different folks who do the greeting each week and, you know, welcome our guests. And I specifically have it outlined a guideline of how they're supposed to do that. They're going to introduce themselves, and then they're going to say, you know, if you're a guest here. Now, they're supposed to say guest. Sometimes we go back into our old thinking, we say visitor. And there's a reason that we differentiate that. Because if you have somebody who visits, you weren't expecting them. It's like, oh, wait, we have a visitor. You know, somebody shows up at your house unexpected, and you're like, well, here, let me get you a paper plate, and here's a leftover hot dog from last night, and, you know, you weren't planning on them. But if you're having guests, right, you vacuum everywhere, and, you know, you get the cobwebs out of the corner, and you get out the good china, and you change the sheets on the bed, and, right, you plan on it. And so you hear that if you pick up on it. They're supposed to be, you know, saying, welcome our guests, because we're planning on it. It changes our mindset. And so that's part of, you know, as the church, we want this place to be open and welcoming. But that's not really what the church is. It's way more than this building. And so I'm a very visual person. I know a lot of you guys are the same way. So I'm going to give you something today that you can take home with you. And I promise you, you won't throw it away later. I mean, it's something you'll use from here on out. But it's really simple, and this will help you to remember today's message, the main point about the church. So I need you to take, if you've got something in your hands, just set it down for a minute. Take both your hands and put them out in front of you like this. Okay, kind of palms up. All right, everybody's got that? Okay. Some people are like, yeah, I'm just going to hold my hands. Okay, so you got your hands like this. So then I want you to put your fingers kind of pointed upwards in the middle. Good, good, Hannah, very good. All right, and then I want you to mesh them together like so from your perspective. So, okay, very good, very good. All right, now I want you to begin to close them. And as you do, put your two pointer fingers, index fingers, together. Everybody so good? Okay, doing all right? You're looking good. Everybody's got it. All right, now I want you to put your thumbs side by side and lay them like this. Everybody got it? Now, when I showed Brent this in the back, he put on his notes, pointer gun. I'm like, no, it's not a gun. Okay, that's okay, Brent. You got it. But if you look at this, this is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and look at all the people. I mean, that's pretty silly, right? But really, that's what the church is. It's the people. It's the people. It's not about the building. It's about us. That's you and me. Now, you're like, that's just silly, Pastor Mike. I mean, this is the church. I remember that from Sunday school. How many of you had never heard that? That's the first time you've heard that. okay, I was showing somebody, and they're like, what? Is this a gang sign? I'm like, no. It's not, Alex, it's not. All right. It's okay, I know. But it's about the people. You know, that's what makes up the church, you and I. You know, people will come to a building, they'll come because it's a nice place, but you know, there's other nice places. It's the people that make up the body of Christ, the church. We're supposed to be and have been entrusted with the message of salvation. Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins, he laid it all down, and he gave this message to the disciples, he entrusted them, and then he took off. Basically saying, you guys take it. And we're in that same place today. The church, the people, have been entrusted with that message. And it's not just about preaching it, teaching it, but about living it. And so we're going to look at that today. The church is the people. And I think that, you know, you can come back to that. Like I said, you can take that home with you. You don't have to. Okay. So here's an example from the Bible of what the church is supposed to look like. How we're supposed to interact. What's supposed to be happening here. Now, we talked about the mission statement, and I'll kind of pull that back in and the vision as we go through this. But in Acts 2, 42 through 47, we have that up on the screen here. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to hear your heart today, God. Help us to hear how we're supposed to live in community together, how we're supposed to be the church. And Lord, I pray for myself this morning that you would anoint the words that I would share, God, that they wouldn't be mine, but they would be yours to our hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture is pretty clear. It paints a picture. I mean, as you read through that, there's all kinds of things going on. There's a lot going on in here. But it paints a picture of both what our lives are supposed to look like personally and corporately together in community in the church. You know, when I read this, I get the idea that it's not just a Sunday morning thing. I think it's a little more than 90 minutes of involvement here. So let's look at that for a little bit. And I know as I was reading this, some of the extroverts in the crowd were like, "Well, that sounds exciting. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's people and crowds." And the introverts were like a little bit terrified. Like, where's the door? I think I'm in the wrong service. I don't know. Is there a small group I can be a part of? Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that too. So according to the scripture, it says that they were devoted to a couple of different things. And the dictionary says that devoted means having a strong love or loyalty for something or someone. Well, one of the things they were devoted to was the apostles' teaching. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the people were devoted to growing spiritually together. You might say that they were becoming a group of spiritually strong believers, to tie that into our mission statement. You know, it's part of what they were doing. They not only devotion to growing in knowledge, okay, about the Lord and how we're supposed to live and righteous living, all of that, but they also devoted to the Lord's Supper and prayer. They experienced communion together. They prayed together. You know, they enacted their relationship became real and alive as they stayed in connection with God through prayer. They had a living relationship with Him. And individually, that comes to all of us. We have to, you know, we can come together in this building. You could come here every Sunday for years and years. You could give tithe 10% and on to missions on top of that, and you could be here and you could still not have a relationship with Christ. If we don't humble ourselves, accept Him, receive His forgiveness, and begin to follow Him, we're just going through the motions. And so they had this, they were devoted to growing spiritually. All of us individually need to be committed to that as the body of Christ together so that we can become the church, so we can fulfill what God's called us to do, whether it's fulfilling this mission right here in this community or individually in our own life and our own relationship with the Lord. We have to be devoted to it. And I talked about prayer here just for a minute. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think that's so important as we go through this faith walk. There's so many things going on right now in our world, in our culture, in our politics, that have us super worried, right? I mean, you look at just the Facebook social media stuff that's streaming today, and it's just panic. People are concerned and worried, and you know, justly so. But the Bible tells us not to be anxious about anything. Present those requests to God, you know, with thanksgiving. Know that He's got this in control. He'll take care of it. And so as a community together and individually, we need to stay in that, devoted to prayer. Well, the word here also says that they were devoted to fellowship. Now, that's not a word we use often today. You know, maybe you still use it. I don't know. That's fine if you do. But basically, fellowship is building relationships. That's really what it means. It's kind of more of an idea of a less structured, basically spending time together, less structured, a little more relaxed, getting to know each other, building relationships. That's how we put it in our vision statement. So later in the passage in Acts 2:46, it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." There's the word that jumps out for me as I read that is together. Together. There's so much about that word together. You know, I want to take a little bit more time on the message this morning and kind of focus on that aspect of it. Because I feel like in some ways we're falling into the same pattern as the culture of our world around us. And what I mean by that is we live in the same neighborhoods for years and years and years, and we don't know the person whose name lives two doors down from us or across the street. And we've lived there for tens of years. That's a breakdown in our culture and our community. In fact, we've tried to supplement that with all this online and social media and social communities, which don't fit this. They don't fill the same spot. It's a fake community in some ways. I mean, yes, you can keep touch and all those things, but it doesn't fill the same thing of rubbing elbows and touching and being in contact and having a deep relationship with somebody. And I think the church is possibly sliding into that same mold. Now, most of us would agree that we're creatures of habit, right? I mean, we take the same route to work every morning, unless there's traffic, or we go to the restaurant, we order the same entree every time, you know, the usual. You come in here and you sit in the same spots. You do, right? I know, because it throws your game off if somebody's in your spot. You're like, "You got to sit over there today, so-and-so." Okay. Right? We're just creatures of habit. Year after year, we sit in the same place. Right? It just blows my mind. We do, though. We do. We sit in the same place. So let's do a little bit of a mental experiment, okay? So pretend I just handed you a piece of paper. And yes, thank you. Thank you, Joseph. I handed you a piece of paper. He's really into it. With a pencil. And I want you to write down the name and occupation of everybody in your row to the left and right of you. Now, some of you are like, "That's easy, they're all in my family." Because you all sit in the same row. All right. Then if it's that case, jump ahead a row, the person right in front of you, that row. And just write down all their names and occupations. For some of us, that'd be pretty hard. The front row, easy. Nobody's there. Right? It's one of those things, if you think about it, though, these are the very same people that we go to church with every single week, year after year after year. These are the people that we greet during this greeting time. We shake their hand. We say, "God bless you," or whatever you say when you shake somebody's hand. I don't know. And yet, these are the same people that we are doing life with, that we're going through this process we're calling the church, and we don't know who they are for years. Ouch. And I'm in that boat too. I'll be honest. You know, like, I know they come all the time, but I don't know their name. I hope they don't come up and talk to me. Right? That's us. But that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to know each other. Now, I don't mean you have to know everybody here. I mean, that's, you know, as the church grows, that's going to be an impossibility. But you need to know somebody. And somebody needs to know you. This is pretty vital. And Thessalonians is one of my key scriptures in life. It says, you know, it's not just about spiritual disciplines. It's not just about coming to church, about hearing the word, about devoting ourselves to the teaching, but also about sharing our lives. And it says it this way. It says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. It goes so much further than just sitting under teaching and shaking a hand on Sunday and walking out that door and forgetting who those people are. You know, it's about knowing each other. It's about being in a relationship together. It's more than Sunday morning handshakes. It's got to go beyond that. That's the church. If we're not doing that, we're really not fulfilling the picture and the model that was set before us in Scripture. And I know that culturally things change, but people, we still need relationship. We need each other. So, in fact, it goes so much beyond that. It actually impacts our, not just fulfilling that nice description of what church should look like, but it goes into impacting our own individual walk, our own individual spiritual growth. You know, becoming a spiritually strong believer. It ties into that. In Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every supporting ligament. Now, we're supposed to support each other. That's kind of what this is about. In a lot of ways, we're supposed to support each other, to lift each other up, to encourage each other, to carry someone when they're down, when they're going through a hard time. And we can't do that if we don't know each other. I mean, it's impossible. Now, I'm not a doctor. Maybe there's some doctors in here. I don't know. But, you know, the ligament is something that holds things together. It's the actual strong fibers that connect the bones. And if we don't have those, then we're going to be just a loose, disorganized bag of parts that can't do anything. I mean, that's really what it comes down to it. If you think about it, you know, and I love the way Scripture does this. It you know, it illustrates things to us that we can understand, that we can get a hold of, mentally grab a hold of. And the ligaments, it says that every, let me back up on that Scripture, whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, if your hand didn't have any ligaments in it, you couldn't pick up anything. If your legs didn't have any ligaments, you couldn't walk. And if we're the body of Christ, we're all parts of that body, we're all unique, we're all different, we're not all the same, and we don't have those ligaments, we can't do what God's called us to do. It's important. It's so important. Because, you know, inside those relationships, there's something that happens. And we need these relationships to spur us on, to encourage us, and to sharpen us. And I'm going to refer to a scripture in Hebrews 10:24 and 25. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This really connects to the idea of spurring one another on. Now, I have a picture in the background. It didn't show up. Okay, well, anyway, I have a picture of a spur, you know, a spur on a cowboy boot. Now, it's not something you use. I don't know, maybe anybody own one? No? Okay. But you know what it is. It's for kind of punching that horse and getting it going. And it's kind of sharp and has all these little points on it. So when the Bible says that, consider how you may spur one another on. That's a little pointed. It may not be, pleasant. It might hurt a little bit. But it says we need that toward love and good deeds. We have to have those relationships to be able to spur one another on. And so how does that work with us, with believers? Well, let me give you an example. Let's say you're at the Dollar General, checking out with your bag of Doritos, or whatever chips you like. And you get there, and you're kind of just doing your thing, and they're scanning the chips, and you know, and you hand your card over, you swipe your card, and the checkout goes, so, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your devotional life going? Excuse me? I think I'm in the wrong line. Who are you? Right? I would say that person doesn't have the right to ask me about my personal spiritual, you know, my spiritual walk. They haven't earned that, right? I don't know them. Would you agree? I mean, that's That's just like, how does that person have, you know, this gumption to ask me that? And I don't feel like answering them. I'm like, I'm definitely in the wrong line. I'm going to go to checkout number four over here. Well, the problem is, maybe I really need to be asked about my spiritual devotional life. Maybe it's a train wreck. Maybe I need somebody to call me to count on it and say, what's going on? And if we don't have those relationships where we can ask, be asked and ask the hard questions, how are we going to be spurred on? How are we going to be encouraged? How are we going to grow in our walk? Because, you know, on our own, we like to just have things go easy for us. We don't like the hard things. We don't like if things stretch us and cause us to evaluate where we're at in our own spiritual walk. We like it to go just smooth and easy. Don't bother me. I'm just doing my thing. Well, the Bible gives us warnings. It says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I mean, we need this. This is vital to our spiritual vitality, to our walk in the Lord. And, you know, it's if we don't have those relationships, how in the world is that going to happen? Another scripture says we actually sharpen each other spiritually with those relationships. As Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And the Bible likens it to like sharpening a knife or putting an edge on it, putting metal together to bring out an edge, like sharpening a knife. I don't know why none of my pictures are showing up. Okay, they're back there, aren't they? Yeah, he can see them there, but not here. Okay, well, imagine a knife with a sharpening thing. Okay. They were there earlier. So it's like iron sharpening iron. You know, if you've ever sharpened a knife in the kitchen, I don't know if you got one of the automatic ones or you got the steel and you can, you know, to sharpen the knife, it has to come in contact with that metal to sharpen it. There has to be that proximity. And we have to have those relationships in the body of Christ, in the church, deep enough so that people can ask us those hard questions. They can ask us how our marriage is doing, how our devotional life is, how's your prayer life? You know, how is your witness at work? Do people know that you're a Christian? I mean, we need people to ask us that stuff to help encourage us. And the people that can ask that are the ones that know you. I can't walk up to somebody I don't know and just blast them with something like that. They'd be like, get away from me. Who are you? I have to build relationship. And that starts with the simple things. I mean, it says that the early believers, that they ate together in their homes. They met in the temple. They praised God. They did all kinds of things together that built relationships. And it had to go beyond just a handshake. And that's a scary thing for some of us, because that means that we have to be vulnerable. You know, some of us are going to say, wow, that's a great idea. I should be in a relationship. I need that. If you're honest with yourself, say, I need that. I need somebody to just call me into account on my purity or on my thought life or how I treat other people. But we really begin to push away from that idea because we were afraid that if we open our lives to others, they're going to see who we really are. If we open that door, they're going to find out that I'm not that perfect Christian that maybe I portray to be. But I'll tell you what, neither are they. Neither am I. We all are imperfect. We're walking this thing out day by day. We're going through the same struggles. We're going through the same temptations. We need each other. We can grow together when we do that. You know, if you have somebody else who's encouraging you, who's, you know, talking to you on a weekly basis, inside and outside of the church, has a relationship with you that you can trust, so you can say, when they ask you, you know, how's your devotional life, you're like, you know what, pretty bad. I haven't really opened my Bible this week at all. I haven't prayed. I haven't whatever. And they're not going to be like, well, I'm going to post that on Facebook. No, they're, you know, they care about you. They care about your own spiritual well-being enough that they're going to encourage you and pray with you and call you maybe the next day and go, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you, or drop you a text and just say, hey, I wanted to let you know that, you know, I'm with you today. I'm helping and praying for you, encouraging you, spurring you on. And that's good stuff. We have to be able to have those relationships in our life. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we probably struggle with in the Assemblies of God as a Pentecostal holiness movement. You know, we're very much about holiness. We believe it. The Bible says, be holy as I'm holy. We're supposed to be, you know, following this perfect example of Jesus. And we're afraid that because we know we're not there, that I can't let anybody else know that. Well, guess what? We're all in that same place. So we've got to be in relationship with each other, helping each other grow so that we can become the church that God's called us to be, to be the people that God's called us to be. And it goes beyond just beyond the spiritual, you know, emotional needs, the support needs, all of that. It goes into also the financial and just meeting physical needs. Just like, hey, I need help. We're, you know, moving some trash out from behind the house. I really could use help. Well, you're like, well, that's pretty spiritual, Pastor Mike. Well, in a way it is, because when I do that, when I work with somebody else, when I help them meet needs that they have, I'm spending time with them. I'm getting to know them. I'm finding out, you know, what they like, what they don't like. I know about them. I know about their job. I hear about their kids. I know their last name. And from that, a relationship develops and goes deeper to where more can happen. That's the beginnings of it. And so sharing needs, possessions, I mean, this is the early church was all about this. They were meeting the needs in their community, their faith community, their community around them. Acts 4:33 through 35 says, "And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need." They were givers. They gave of themselves, their finances. Because you could tell if you're really in relationship with somebody, if you really care about them, if your wallet comes into play. Right? If you're really vested in something, you can tell what people are really passionate about. Just let me see your check register, you know? Let me pull it up online. Let's see what you're spending your money on. If we care about the church, we're going to tithe. If we care about missions, we're going to give to missions. If we care about other people, we're going to be pouring into their lives in whatever way we can. I have a friend, one of the first churches that we attended as we got saved, and he was just an encourager. The guy just loved people, loved me, and he was a giver just to his core. And to the, this may sound weird to you, but I was at his house one time, and he's, you know, and I didn't have like, I had like, you know, I was like my 20s, so I had 20s person's clothes, you know, whatever. And that just sounded really weird. But anyway, he was a very sharp dresser, let's just put it that way. And so he comes, he's like, "Come here, come here." And he brings me in his bedroom, he opens a closet, and he's like, looks at me, and he's like, "Shh, shh." He pulls out this suit, and he's like, "Here, and you take this, this is yours, I'm giving you this suit." I'm like, "What? I mean, here's some shoes." And he had a whole bunch of shoes. He was really into clothes. Okay, so, and he gave me a suit and shoes to match. Because he cared. It's like, he invested in me. Like, that just so impressed me. Still, I remember that. And he cared enough to give. And that's part of what we need to be about as well. If you want to give for clothes, that's fine. But being invested in other people's life, it goes deeper than just the Sunday morning. It's about the people. It's about our relationships with one another. Sometimes, you know, giving to a need is easier, I think, sometimes than actually investing our life, opening ourselves up to others. But that's the thing that needs to happen, though. We need to have those relationships. We need to develop those bonds, those, you know, interconnections that allow us to be challenged, to allow us to grow, to stretch us. And what is the result, though, of all of this? As the church is doing what God's called us to do, we're interacting together, we're a community of believers together, we're in the same place, we're interconnected, just like those fingers, we're all interconnected, intertwined together, we have a relationship with each other. The result of this in Acts 2:47 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The Lord added to their number. The result is that people will be saved. They will come to know Jesus. Because of this, because of our relationship together, people are going to come into this place, they're going to hear about things that are going on in the relationships you have with other people, and they're going to be desirous of that. Because the world isn't offering that. I mean, there's things that in the world that are trying to mimic community like that. That's why we see our gangs swelling, because there's an acceptance, there's a family structure that's there, and even though it's harsh and hard, but they feel supported, and they've got their, they know their back's covered by these other folks. But as a church, as believers in Christ, we have the ultimate message of redemption. No matter what has happened in our lives, no matter where we're at in our walk through this life, no matter how terrible we've been, that God accepts us, that God's people accept us. Let me say that again. That God's people accept us. We've got to drop all this kind of judgmental stuff and just say, you know what, I'm imperfect too, and we're going to grow together. Now, it doesn't mean you just kind of wallow around in that level together. It means you challenge each other to grow. And it says, the Lord added to their number daily. First John 13:34-35 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. That's, you know, you have to take that back. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He laid it all down. Unconditionally. That's how we need to love others. Because if we can do that, and I know it's God's Spirit working through us to help us do that sometimes, because some people are pretty hard to love. You're probably one. I'm probably one. Right? Some of us, and not you, no. Don't point at your neighbor. But we need God's grace flowing through us so that we can love one another. And the Bible says if we do that, it says that everyone will know that we're His disciples, that we follow Christ. And I'll tell you what, people are looking. They are looking for something real. They're looking for something genuine, something that works. They're trying all kinds of stuff. And if we as a body of believers, as a community of faith, begin to live this out and have this happening, and we build real positive relationships, and we have, you know, small groups that are meeting in people's homes, they're just sharing a meal together, and you're open and you invite somebody else in, or if there's somebody new and they sat way in the back and you don't know who they are, and you're like, you know, you introduce yourself to them and like, hey, you know, be a part, and you welcome them, get to know them, that's going to make an impact on people. And they're going to go back and be like, hey, man, I went to this church. I don't know what I got in. I just kind of walked in there. I don't know how I got there. I was walking by. I had nothing to do. It looked like a place I could kind of stay warm for the day. I don't know, whatever. And they're here. And people just accepted me. And they seemed like they liked each other. Like, for real? They knew each other. And they weren't afraid of, you know, because I was different. I wasn't dressed the same as them. Or I didn't fit in. Or I had tattoos or whatever it might be. And they accepted me. That is going to spread. And the Lord added daily to their number. That's what we're called to be, guys. That's what we're called to do as the church, is to be in relationship with each other. It's going to have an impact. So a couple of things to think about, and just questions maybe to ask yourself. Does your life and your role in the church resemble what we see pictured in Scripture? That's a question to ask yourself. Does my life look like anything like what we just read in Acts 2? Am I in relationship with other people? Is there somebody in this room that I've had a meal with outside of, you know, of a Sunday thing, maybe in the back besides cake after one of the, you know, somebody's birthday or something like that? Have I built those kind of relationships? And then with that, do I have any significant relationships? Is there someone or several people in this building right now who I can ask the hard questions to, or who can ask me the hard questions, who can call me to account on my own spiritual walk? Because if that is no, it needs to change. Because really, you can't grow spiritually. You can grow to a point, but you really can't grow to your full potential in the Lord and accomplish the mission, fulfilling the vision of what He's called us to do, if we don't have that. It is vital. That's probably one of the biggest things I think that we fall down on, is that we don't have those relationships. It holds us back. As a church, individually, it holds us back. And the devil just has a heyday with that. You know, he makes us think we're the only one struggling. We're the only one dealing with that temptation. We're the only one. We've got to have those relationships. And I already touched on it, you know, just sharing a meal, beginning the steps of building relationships. It's kind of a simple one, really. It's like, hey, we're going to go to lunch after this. Why don't you go with us? Invite somebody, right? It's pretty, you can, you know, figure out, we'll split the bill. You don't have to get it all out ahead of time so you know what's happening. Okay? I'm like, hey, I want you to treat me to lunch. That probably won't do so well. Offer to pay, I don't know, whatever. But begin to build those relationships. That's what makes a difference in our lives. That's what makes a difference as a church. And that's what's going to make the difference in our community. We will not fulfill that mission, that vision, and accomplish the mission if we don't do this. It's part of who we're supposed to be. It's not just a good idea. It's not just a suggestion. It's who we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be in relationship with each other. Like I said, it's not that you have to know everybody, but you've got to know somebody. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would set in our hearts the importance, God, of having relationships that build each other up, that challenge each other, that encourage. God, realizing today that our own spiritual maturity is tied to it. That we really can't reach our full potential without having these relationships in our life. We really can't realize our full potential of being a witness for you as a church if we don't have these relationships happening. Whether it's in a small group setting, whether it's a Sunday school, whether it's meeting in someone's home for a meal or getting together to go kayaking or whatever it might be, God, some kind of relationship that begins to go deeper to allow us to encourage and spur one another on. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that today. But I also want to include a time this morning, you know, as we're in this attitude of prayer. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ. You came in here for some reason and you realize that you've either walked away from that or you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We're going to pause for just a minute because the door is wide open. There's acceptance. Jesus said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's nothing that you have done or are doing right now that prohibit you from receiving that salvation, that forgiveness. All you have to do is to receive it. So I just want to take a minute with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If there's someone here today, I want to just take a minute and I want to pray for you. I want to acknowledge you. I'm not going to call you out. But if you're here today and that's you, you need to make your life right with the Lord. You've walked away from that relationship and you need to renew that. I want to just pray with you just for a minute. So if that's you, why don't you just quickly lift your hand and say, I need that prayer. Anyone? Okay. Well, Lord, right now also there's some of us that are really have been convicted in our spirit about our own relationships with others. And we need to make changes. We need to develop those relationships that we can be challenged in, that we can grow in, God. And so, Lord, I pray for those this morning that might just be experiencing that as you've shown them that they need to be more connected in their community of faith. They need to build those relationships. And I pray that you just be with them this morning. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know where you are. There's probably a good number of us here that we know we need to step out of our bounds. We need to be more vulnerable with each other, knowing that we all care about the same thing, about growing in Christ, about being a better witness for Him. So God, this morning, I pray that you'd help us to do that. We wouldn't just forget this message. We put our hands together and realize that we're the people. We're the church. Help us to be who we're supposed to be. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand with us?